Hello and welcome to the Addicted Austenites, your one-stop podcast for all things Jane Austen. I'm Catherine, and in this episode I'm going to be reviewing episode 7 of ITV's Sanditon. So here we are, episode 7, the penultimate episode of this series, and things are gearing up for what I hope will be an epic conclusion in the final episode. As with most of the other episodes we've looked at, the story is split between the Denhams and Charlotte Hayward, and this week we start with the Denhams. When we last saw them in episode 6, the Denhams were in a bit of a crisis. Lady Denham was feeling very, very poorly, and she'd bought up the will, which Clara and Edward found, and she was leaving all of her money to the development of Sanditon. So they burnt it because they wanted her money, obviously. And they did some nasty things on the dining room floor. And Esther just all round feels betrayed, bless her. So at the beginning of episode 7, it looks grave. The doctor is saying that Lady Denham isn't going to make it through the night. And of course this means that Edward and Clara are getting rather excited because they think that a big financial reward is coming their way once the old bat dies. Esther, on the other hand, bless her, she seems to be the only one that's actually genuinely sad about the whole thing. I mean, to be quite honest, by this point, I'm kind of bored with the whole Denhams wanting the inheritance thing. Like, it's getting a bit stale now. So that's all that is motivating Edward and Clara. But Esther, I've really started to like her now because I really disliked her at the beginning. Being part of that awful, awful Denham duo. But now she's a lot more sympathetic. Bless her, she's gone through a lot. And she decides that she's going to be honest with her aunt in her dying moment because she's upset. She goes to Lady Denham's bedside and she spills everything and says that, you know, we never loved you. Nobody really loves you. We just loved your money. But I was doing it because of Edward, but he betrayed me and Clara betrayed us both. They both betrayed us both. And she tells them because Clara previously had been bragging about sleeping with Edward and about burning the will, which was pretty stupid if you ask me. Keep that to yourself, though apparently she just couldn't hold it in, that she'd got one over on Esther. So anyway, Esther's telling Lady Denham all this, thinking, you know, it's a deathbed confession kind of thing. Usually it's made by the person that's dying, but, you know, it's still a confession at a deathbed, so that's what I'm calling it. So that all gets spilled. Edward and Clara think they're in the clear. And then, lo and behold, Lady Denham is getting better. She defied all odds and she is on the mend. And she calls them all in to her room to talk to them. And in a very satisfying moment, she jews them all out, basically. You know, Esther, bless her, she doesn't really get away with it either, so to speak. So first of all, Lady Denham disowns Edward. He is no longer part of the family. Then Clara is sent back to her family and they're both told that they will be getting nothing at all. And Esther is now Lady Denham's sole remaining heir. Though as Lady Denham remarks, it's more by luck than by any goodness of character or any intelligence, really. So that was rather satisfying that they're both thrown out on their ears. Though it does beg the question, what have they got left to do in the final episode? Because Edward, he comes back to the house and he applauds Esther and tries to get back into her good books and saying, oh, you know, well done, that was a great ploy that you pulled off there, that we're definitely going to be inheriting all this money because obviously I love you and I'll marry you once you inherit her money and she's dead. And Esther's just not buying it. Finally, she turns him down and she says, no way, no way, Edward, this is not going to happen. You're on your own. So Edward goes off in a mood and gets decidedly drunk. And this leads to him mouthing off about Esther at the Vigata, which we will talk about in a minute, to Lord Babington, who in previous episodes has a bit of a crush on Esther and proposed to her. She turned him down because at that point she wasn't entirely sure how she felt about Edward, but she didn't want to marry Lord Babington anyway. She wanted to be her own woman. So after hearing Edward mouthing off about her, he goes to see Esther, and you prepare yourself and you think, okay, now I'm just going to ream her out and call her all the names under the sun and be thankful that she never accepted him. But in a nice turn of events, he's really supportive and he says, thank God you are no longer under your brother's influence anymore. I'm not here to ask you to marry me again. It's the furthest thing from my mind right now. I just want to be your friend in this moment, because it's really intuitive and he's telling her that she doesn't really know who she is anymore because she's been under Edward's influence for so long and now that it's not there, she finally gets to be herself. But it's going to take a long time for her to figure out who that is. And that was a really touching scene for me, because it is something that a lot of people go through in their lives. Not necessarily that they're under a person's control, but there is something in their life that has taken over. And it spoke to me personally, because I got diagnosed with depression in my teen years. And I remember when I was starting treatment with the doctor and she said, you've been depressed for so long, it's taken up so much of your life, that this treatment is going to be scary because you're going to find out who you really are, because you haven't been yourself for the longest time and you're finally going to find out who you are. So obviously that scene meant a lot to me and I thought it was absolutely brilliant and really well played. I'm glad that they put it in there, because so often in period dramas and in remembering the past in general, we try and not see the darker elements. And especially when it comes to things like illnesses and mental health, it's largely ignored and just passed off. But this took the time to, you know, show that people really did suffer in the same way that we do now, and that it didn't necessarily mean that you were just shut up and shipped off to an asylum, which unfortunately did happen for a lot of people, particularly women. But there were also people that understood and that were caring enough to help these people through these things. So a bit of a sidetrack there, but yeah, very important scene for me and I really, really enjoyed it. And so that's pretty much the Denham story there. Clara and Edward do have a little meeting in the town centre where Clara, you know, sticks the knife in deeper and she's like, well, I had nothing to lose, but you've lost everything. And she says this line, she says, I'll spare you a thought every now and then, though I know that you'll be thinking about me. The parting barb, it's pretty good. I like that. So yeah, that's the Denhams. Let's move on to Charlotte Hayward and the regatta. So Tom Parker has been planning this regatta for a while. This is why he wanted more money, why he went to London to get more money. And they're basically going to be having a rowing race along the river and lots of other little activities and tents and food and all that kind of stuff. And Charlotte had a very big hand in this. She really helped Tom to organise it and get it set up. And she is helping with the boat race and things. But her storyline in this episode really revolves around her relationship with Sydney Parker and with Mr. Stringer as well. Because, oh, my poor heart. Poor Mr. Stringer. At the beginning of the episode, Charlotte is still in a bad mood about Sydney because of Mrs. Campion. I do have to admit that a lot of the time with Charlotte's storyline, I spent it going, who on earth is that actress playing Mrs. Campion? Because I knew her face and I couldn't figure out who she was. And I thought, I don't want to disrupt the watching to pause it and Google it, which was a stupid idea because it ended up distracting me quite a bit. So I finally figured it out. Finally found out who she was. It's Ruth Kearney, who I know best from Primeval, which was a fantastic series I loved about dinosaurs and time travel and stuff. But she's also Theo James is Sydney Parker's wife, which is lovely. So yes, once I finally figured out who she was, I was able to then enjoy the rest of the episode. So yeah, Charlotte's really cross with Sydney because they were flirting in London, and then he's off with Mrs. Campion because they're star-crossed lovers and she abandoned him for a richer bloke and whatever. So they're arguing in the town centre and Charlotte is telling him to leave her alone. And so Charlotte goes off and she runs into Mr. Stringer and he's like, oh, I haven't seen you since you came back from London. How are you? We haven't talked for a while. And she's like, oh, well, let's talk at the regatta then, you know, let's have a more substantial conversation. The word substantial gets thrown around quite a few times in jest in this episode. Obviously, Mr. Stringer is hoping for something really special from this conversation, and the people that he worked with are kind of expecting it as well. They're sort of teasing him about it. And bless him, Mr. Stringer, he meets her at the regatta, and she is in a mood about Sydney Parker, and she's saying she's in a mood about, you know, feelings and about love, and he's like, oh, okay, maybe you're, you know, wanting to admit your love to me. This is all in his head, of course. So he says, I'll listen to you. You know, you'll find me a very sympathetic listener. Why don't you tell me what's going on? And she doesn't say it in so many words, but she lets him know that clearly it's somebody else that she's having love trouble with. And bless his little heart. Oh, he looks so devastated. It's just... oh, you know how much I like Mr. Stringer and how much I wanted him to be Charlotte's beau in this series. And oh my god, oh, I just felt so bad for him. I just wanted to reach into the TV and hug him, you know. So he's really despondent and he's really upset. And he sees Charlotte and Sydney Parker having a bit of an argument because Mrs. Campion is not oblivious to Sydney's feelings for Charlotte. So she starts teasing Charlotte a little bit to try and remind Sydney how much better Mrs. Campion is than Charlotte. And Charlotte, of course, is very offended by this and she storms off and Sydney goes to follow her. And he's going, oh, it's just a joke, you know, don't be upset. And Charlotte just tells him off, basically, which, go her, I'm proud of her. And I thought, you know, would be the turning point for her and that she really would start to consider Mr. Stringer a lot more. So I was getting happy, you know, and I thought, yay, this is going to work out the way I wanted it. Because Mr. Stringer sees this and he figures it out. And then it comes to the race. Now, the boat race is groups of men sat in the boats and they're going to be rowing down the river. And one of the teams is headed by Mr. Stringer and one of the teams is the Parker brothers. So we've got Sydney Parker, Tom Parker, and we've got Arthur Parker too, who, oh, I missed in the last episode. He is still my absolute favourite character. He's just brilliant. He goes and springs Georgiana Lamb from her confinement in the house after the whole London thing. And, oh, he's just adorable. I love him to death. Oh, I missed him. But anyway, so it's the Parker brothers in one boat, Stringer and his friends in another. And there are another couple of teams as well. But a drunken friend of Lord Babington takes them out of the running pretty quickly. And Mr. Stringer is determined to beat the Parkers because, as he says to his friend, I don't want to lose to Sydney Parker twice in one day. And thank goodness Mr. Stringer and his team win the race, which was absolutely just the most satisfying thing for me. And there's a little moment between them, between Mr. Stringer and Sydney Parker, when Mr. Stringer goes to accept the award. Now, I don't know if this is the series trying to say Mr. Stringer isn't all that great, because he turns to Sydney Parker, who begrudgingly, you know, gives his congratulations for winning the race. Mr. Stringer says, it wasn't the prize I was after. Now, that to me could be interpreted in two different ways. The first one, I mentioned briefly before, that it's the series trying to say that he's not all that great because he's saying that isn't the prize that I wanted. I wanted the prize of Charlotte, which suggests that he thinks of her as an object and a prize to be won, and that is not a good way for a man to feel about a woman. So maybe he's not the best partner for Charlotte, which I really hope isn't what they were going for. Because the second interpretation, and the one that I'm sticking with, because I do love Mr. Stringer to death, is that he was saying, you know, it wasn't the prize that I wanted, meaning that it was the satisfaction of beating him in the race that kept him going, basically, and that made him win. He didn't care about receiving the prize, he just wanted to beat Sidney Parker. So that's the interpretation I'm sticking with, because I still hold out hope, you know, in the end, that he and Charlotte might have a chance. I think I might be in the minority here in hoping for that, especially because at the end of the episode, Charlotte is looking over the model of Sanditon that Tom Parker keeps in the house, and she's found by Sidney Parker, and she's still in a mood with him, and she says, oh, your brother's not here if you're looking for him, and he's like, no, I'm not looking for Tom, I'm looking for you. Because Charlotte, earlier in the day, when she had this fight with Sidney Parker, she says to him, what do you want from me? Because he is sort of toying with her quite a lot, and she's fed up of it. And it takes, from that moment to the end of the episode, for Sidney Parker to gather up the courage to go and speak to her about it. And it's a surprise to Charlotte, because she expected him to go back to London with Mrs. Campion after the regatta finished. I think everybody expected him to do that, including Sidney, up until very, very late in the day. And he explains that he didn't go with her, that he really wasn't sure what he wanted, referring back to Charlotte's question earlier. And he tells her that he doesn't know at the moment, but all that he does know is that he is his best self when he is with her, with Charlotte. So that's quite a sweet little confession, I suppose. And again, I'm probably being quite biased against Sidney Parker because I love Mr. Stringer so much. And I do still hold out hope for a Stringer-Charlotte relationship. But definitely Sidney is in the running for Charlotte, so to speak. Now, I'm the one referring to her like an object would be one. But you know what I mean. It's this triangle of the three of them. And Sidney is definitely a corner of that triangle. And I will have to wait and see who she picks until the last episode, which I am so nervous about, because in my head, I know that they're going to go with Sidney, because it is the Austin-esque storyline, you know, that gentleman that started out a bit rough around the edges and with a few character flaws, who is then shaped into a better man by the heroine, who goes through a learning experience herself. But as much as my head knows that's probably what's going to happen, my heart really wants it to be Mr. Stringer. Oh, I so want them to get together. So I think I'm going to have to prepare myself to be disappointed, unfortunately. So that is Charlotte's storyline during this episode. It's all about her relationship with Sidney Parker and with Mr. Stringer. Though there is one fun little addition from their time in London. While she was in London at this ball where she was flirting with Sidney, Charlotte meets Lady Susan. I don't know if this is a callback to Jane's short story, Lady Susan. I don't think it would be the same Lady Susan, because that story was set in the late 1700s, and she definitely wouldn't be as young as she was in Sanditon when Sanditon is set. So I don't think it is the same Lady Susan, but they might have named her after her, if that makes sense. But anyway, she's a great woman. She's really fun and really down to earth for somebody that's so high in society, and one of Jane's favourite kinds of characters. And she gets on with Charlotte so much that she comes down to this regatta in Sanditon and brings all of her London friends with her, which of course really pleases Tom Parker, because Sanditon is full of London people. And at the end of the episode, Lady Susan does say, oh, we're telling some particular friends about Sanditon and about how nice it is here. And they take that to mean the Prince Regent, because it's rumoured that they're friends, or even that she was his mistress at one point. I think the idea of the Prince Regent going to Sanditon is absolutely hilarious, because Jane would have hated it. She really hated the Prince Regent. Although, if that was the point that she was trying to make about Sanditon, that it was just another seaside town overrun with capitalism and excess and things, then the Prince Regent going there would be, you know, perfect ending to that meaning that she's driving at there. But anyway, Lady Susan is quite a lot of fun, and she's sort of playing Emma Emma Woodhouse in this episode because she's trying to encourage Charlotte to admit her feelings for Sydney Parker, who they talked about at the ball. And she's sort of pushing for that and trying to sort of find Mrs. Campion's weaknesses so that Charlotte can get in there. And this does, unfortunately, lead to the whole insult in the tent, Charlotte goes storming off situation. But we are yet to see where that incident leads to. So, you know, we can't hold it against Lady Susan quite yet. And Charlotte certainly doesn't. But I thought that Lady Susan was a really fun character and that it was nice to have a sort of a fresh face in Sanditon. Because as I was saying before with the denims and with Charlotte's back and forth with Sydney Parker, I'm getting a little bit bored of it. So it was nice to have a fresh perspective come in and shake things up a bit. And I do hope that that isn't the last that we see of her. Though there is only one episode left, so time will tell. And I will see you again after I have watched episode 8. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of The Addicted Austenite. I really hope you've enjoyed it. Thank you for sticking with me this long on the Sanditon series. If you have liked it, please do like it and subscribe and share. And I do love receiving comments as well, so type away. I will see you next time for a new episode, and until then, happy reading, your faithful servant, the author.